Tuesday, October 4, Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio. A very good morning to you if you're just tuning in. Just want to read this text, Craig the Truckie. Keep the calls coming, 1353 53. The text line 0419 767 272. Boys on the Penrith boys partying and mocking para. Good luck to them. Winners have parties. Losers have meetings. Wasn't all the hype a couple of weeks back when Gutherson waved goodbye to the Raiders players near full-time in their semi-final. The game is built on tribalism. We want characters in the game, but continue to put them down. No wonder why some players won't speak to certain media, says Craig the Truckie. It's certainly been a theme in the last 24 hours is how the Penrith players have handled their celebrations, particularly yesterday. We saw James Fisher-Harris saying, para are our sons, and then sort of incited a we hate para chant at the Panthers fan day yesterday. Happy Coruscant mocked the Tigers a little. So some say, you know, obviously they're arrogant and they're not handling their celebrations very well at all, not showing humility, etc. And I tend to sort of, you know, probably because I'm not a Parramatta fan as well, sort of agree with Craig the Truckie to an extent. I think, you know, you've got to put yourself in that situation and think, well, you've had an all-nighter. You've won a premiership after working your absolute backside on off over the year. Okay, there's a couple of moments there you'd really want back, for sure, for those players. When they look back at it in hindsight, they'll probably have a cringe.
When they look back on it, they will cringe. But they did say what they've said, and they mightn't retract what they've said, but it adds to the rivalry between these two clubs. Here in Australia, you want people to be, have that humility about them when they win well, lose well. But these Penrith boys, they've achieved something pretty special going back to back. Not everyone agrees with what they've done, and everyone can have their own opinion on that. But one thing we can't deny is that they've been a very, very good football club now for the last 3 years and have been one of the more outstanding clubs in the NRL era. They've still got a lot of success to come, but you want to make sure that everyone stays grounded and you want to make sure that they stay humble and they continue to work hard. Because if they don't and they get carried away with their success, it'll come crumbling down pretty quickly. Mm.
I guess I don't get that offended by it, whereas others do, Clarkie. But you do have to stay humble for sure. But you're also, if you have a little misdemeanor after having an all-nighter, then, you know, say something you probably shouldn't have. Yeah. Let's not hang them for it.
Yeah. They're a brilliant footy team. There's no doubt about it, but yeah, I just reckon a bit of the stuff is, I don't know. They can feel that way, but they don't have to do it in front of a TV camera when you know, or on a stage where you know it's being filmed.
Well, like, you just got to know that everything now.
The Abbey Coruscant, there was a number. From my perspective as a Tigers fan, the Abbey Coruscant thing, I was like, did he just do that?
It was a bit cringy. Yeah.
You just signed a contract with the team. You go onto that team. Can you imagine the first conversation? Well, Tim Sheens, if he's not ringing him today, I'll be very surprised. Go on, mate. You know what? If you think that about our club, don't bother coming.
I believe I saw that Tim Sheens is going to be going to the UK and that John, I think it was on 360 last night, John Bateman could still be in the mix. They could end up trying to pay that a transfer fee to try and get John Bateman to the club.
Be careful paying a transfer fee for John Bateman. I mean, the Raiders paid a transfer fee for him, and then he wanted to go home for family reasons, and I understand family reasons because of what happened with COVID, but now he wants to come back out. So you run that risk of paying a transfer fee for him and then paying his salary, but then in 12 months' time, if it doesn't work out, he may walk out on you again.
You wonder how reliable he is. We've got Nathan on the line. G'day, Nathan.
G'day, Gerald. Lars Clarkie. Hope you all had a nice long weekend, guys.
We did.
We certainly did, Nathan. What about yourself?
Good one. Out of the pub these days. So, pretty lazy. A christening, a wedding. Gay crashed a Hartman family reunion. So,
jeez, you've had a big weekend.
it was a big Saturday, but we got through it.
Good man.
Guys, I want to talk to you, and I'm as guilty as the next. Why are we so bad when we have people we know have success with racehorses or things? I mean, the two next to you Gerald.
Yeah, it's, oh, look, I'm filthy done, about it too.
They've done nothing wrong by me. They're agreeable blokes. I listen to you every week. And you just have that little feeling in your gut when someone you know. In Glen Innes, a heap of locals got a Kosciuszko spot.
Did they? What horse? Do you know what horse they got?
Yeah, they negotiated It's Me.
Oh, they got the favourite. Oh.
Yeah, Cav. That added to the trauma. there's 10 of them in it. They're all good blokes, but yeah. You just sort of, when the news filtered through, we're all ringing each other, and you're sort of going, yeah, it'll be, yeah, good luck to them, but.
It's funny, isn't it? Like, where your mates, you give it to your mates more than you give it to someone else.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think it's just an Aussie thing, isn't it?
I can write a book on bad luck with racehorse ownership. You know, you've got horses, the trainer says it's not winning. I had the pub at the time and it salutes at $15 and everyone's coming to dish out the high fives and I'm kicking in and, you know, the bad one, you've cut your bet because the trainer said no good. And another one, a bloke in the syndicate we were paying to wasn't paying the trainer.
You know what I love, Nathan? And I'm a bad one for this. This is me. If I'm at the track or I'm at a pub or something, I could have some random come up to me and go, mate, jump on the five in the next. I've heard it's going to go all right. And you know what you do? You go and have some money on it. Why do you do that? You don't know them for a bar of soap.
Just don't know who they are. Don't know the form.
No. You wouldn't have a clue. You'll go and have something on it. I just find that weird and strange how I fall for that all the time.
Yeah, they probably come to you more than me at the track, Loz.
No, but I don't know. It's a fun game to be a part of. I know that.
Wonderful game.
It is.
And honestly, good luck with your horses. It's another talking point. And, just maybe place in a group one. Don't win, eh?
Now, did you back her on Friday night, the little Foxy?
Had a little bit on it, yeah. And same, I've been backing the other blokes. Good one.
Yeah.
Well, you listen to you, so...
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Nathan. We need to find out about Clarkie's little girl. What's the latest?
I think November 11, I think she's running.
Okay.
Perfect. Mm. Week after the Melbourne Cup, yeah.
So we're running every day down in Melbourne.
Oh, well, the local boys will be able to have a beer with you, Laurie. I won't be there, but they'll be there with the Kosciuszko's box.
Well, I'll be out at the Everest. I will be out at the Everest. So I'm looking forward to getting out there. I haven't been to an Everest.
They reckon it's a top day.
Yeah, no, every time I've seen it the last couple of years, there's always been a massive crowd there 3 years ago before COVID. And then last year there was a bit of a crowd there. So I reckon this year, if it's a decent day, I reckon they'll get close to 40,000.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed for the weather for you, Loz.
Yeah, hopefully so, Nath. But anyway, all the best, mate.
All the best to you boys too.
Good on you, Nathan. Thanks for the call, mate. The Koori Knockout, by the way, very successful weekend. By all reports, they're at Bombard Area over the weekend.
I watched a lot of the footy yesterday and on Sunday.
But a couple of people on the text line have pointed out, Latrell Mitchell had broken ribs last week and he played all week.
They had a good side
to
too.
That injury?
Oh, mate. Where'd you tell me?
Wolgan had a good side.
Who won?
All Blacks. The Newcastle All Blacks. Mm. Yeah. I saw Georgie Rose playing. I didn't know Georgie was playing. I saw his brother Matt playing. But in that Walgett team, Benny Barber was playing. I saw Jesse Ramian playing. Will Kennedy was playing. A number of the boys played. It was great to see a lot of people out there. I know that Rod did a lot out there, Rod from Nowra. It was marking the grounds, but it looked good on television. It was played in good spirit. Did you see one of the tries that was scored?
Is that the double kick?
Yes.
Chip and chase, caught it on the full with the right boot.
And then the left boot. Yeah.
Regathered and scored.
Yeah, there were some sensational tries.
5/8, I thought.
Yeah.
Unbelievable
he was.
Try.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
There were some really good tries scored on the weekend.
Just on the text line here in regards to the Penrith celebrations, good on the Panthers. They outplayed us and deserved their win. I'm still slightly amused that whilst they have achieved so much, Parra is still in their heads. Remove the chip off your shoulders, boys. says, Donna, hey, boys, this might be a big call, but with Kick Out and Chorus Out leaving Penrith, they will come back to the pack. No name to that one, but you're sceptical of that, Loz. You very much believe that they'll still be there when the whips are cracking, despite the loss of those two players.
Yeah,
just due to the factory they got, that they just seem to find new players. Look, this year with, I guess, Taylor May and Isaac Tango as well.
Yeah, and you look at what Mitch Kenny did at the start of the game. Like, he set that up through his actions, the way he defended. His service out of dummy half was outstanding. You got Sonny Luke there that will possibly be the backup hooker or possibly starting hooker. They'll rotate those two guys through there. So while they're not Appy Chorus Out and they are different style of players, I think just with sheer volume and success that they've had, the production line will continue to produce good players that fit into a good system. And we always speak about the Melbourne Storm system, next man up mentality, the Roosters over the last decade, what they've been able to achieve. That's what Penrith have in front of them now. This ability to be able to bring people through. Yes, they'll lose players, but they'll still have people capable of filling in.
And Steve from Foster says, hey, lads, gee, I wish I never made a goose of myself after 12 hours on the drink either. Give them a break on the Penrith celebration, Steve from Foster. Okay, so Brad Rosen's coming up shortly. Yeah, just on the text line is here. Hey, Loz, how did you come to picking that donkey in Melbourne on the first leg of your multi? One of you were, says Big Daz. So this is the elephant in the room we haven't discussed yet this morning.
Well, I was going to put her in the multi, but then I thought, no, there's too much pressure already on her. Carrying the weight of the nation, Mitter.
This was Odium, though, that you had in the multi.
Oh, Odium, sorry. Yes. Oh, I thought you were talking about
Foxy. This is Odium, your multi on Saturday.
Oh, well, I thought she'd run a lot better.
Well, I've had a tweet, actually, about Odium. She's now been retired to stud.
Mm.
Someone's tweeted me saying, Loz has done it again. So, you've sent Odium
Charlie
to stud.
Charlie parted
her. Well, not quite Charlie, thank goodness.
Oh, dear.
But anyway, that's what happens. A mate of mine's horse, Odium. And he had another one, actually, in race one, Charm Stone.
How'd that go?
Ran second, third, but one to watch. Nice little two-year-old.
Mm. Okay, keep an eye on.
Mm.
Morning, Brad. How are you?
Good morning, boys. Go those 36ers.
Oh, how about it? How about it? Phoenix just decided not to play defence in their first preseason game.
Well, I haven't seen him play defence for 3 years, but that's a separate story, mate. That was unbelievable. So just for our listeners, the first time ever an NBL team has beaten an NBA team, which is the Phoenix Suns, mind you, who is a powerhouse in the Western Conference Finals. And yes, Chris Paul and Devin Booker did play.
Did they care, though, Brad? Like, it's I know they still played some of their big fish, but would they be bothered?
Look, no, let's be honest. Like, they would have taken it. They would have taken it easy, but let me say, they'll be bothered at the end of the game. There's no way they would have wanted to lose that. Now, what would have happened is, we'll come out. The Aussies are going to be easy beats. We'll just take it easy. All of a sudden, you know, the 36ers come out and they hit something like 24 threes. And it's unbelievable. And Craig Randall had 35 points.
Tell me about these two players, Randall and Franks, who scored, 67 points between them, Brad? I know they're both Americans, but what's their background?
Yeah, so Franks played for Brisbane last year, really good player, and that was a good pick-up for Adelaide 36ers and coach CJ Bruton. Franks, look, he's come out of nowhere. Randall, he's come out of nowhere. It's when I say that, he hasn't played in Australia before, and there's a real rap on him where he's going to be rocks or diamonds. He's going to, you know, score 35 one day and then take 35 shots the next. But yesterday, in his hometown in Phoenix, he came out and showed the world what he could do. And now, if I'm the Adelaide 36ers, I'm worried. Is an NBA team going to pick him up? And he might be gone, because all these players have NBA clause out. So if an NBA team's watching that and watching drain all these threes and score 35 points, they might be, let's not go home, shall we?
Yeah, right. So they beat Phoenix, all right. So they come back to the NBL.
Yep.
What was their expectation before that game, and what's the expectation now after the game?
Yeah, good question. Look, the expectation was they were going to have a good year. They didn't play well last year. They've really loaded up this year, the 36ers. And I definitely had them in my top four. So I think that, you know, what they've done now is probably what they've expected to do. Now they've got to come back and do that properly, because now the real league does. And don't forget, they'll come up against those mighty Sydney Kings soon, and then that'll be a real test to get these Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, the Kings are a snack compared to Phoenix, aren't they? But they've got Josh Giddey in the Thunder on Friday first, the 36ers.
Yeah, that would be awesome. So OKC, obviously, with Josh Giddey, who used to play for the Adelaide 36ers, mind you. So that'll be another good test, and I don't think the Oklahoma City will take them as easy as the Phoenix Suns did.
Yeah. Certainly, just before we get onto the NBL for week one, the story of the weekend was the Opals and Lauren Jackson in particular, and the way she finished her career with the Opals after that comeback. Describe, I guess, from Friday night and the disappointment of losing to China into Saturday afternoon and the victory against Canada to secure that bronze medal.
Yeah, unbelievable. The China game was gut-wrenching. They had a chance to win it, and they probably lost it rather than China won it. They, you know, were up by two, went down the stretch, had a turnover, then they fouled and gave China 4 points. But to bounce back, very similar to what the Boomers did when they won their bronze medal, they lost to US in that semi, and they bounced back and knew, right, we've got to get this win because we've got a chance to win a medal and a medal on home soil. And didn't Lauren Jackson come to work? She just said, no way, I'm not finishing my career with anything but rose gold. And she had 30 points. She was phenomenal. The girls were great. And all in all, it was an outstanding tournament for the world of basketball, and more so for Australia. And there's young girls that are going to be watching that, and they're going to remember this for their lifetime.
How well placed are we now going forward? Because obviously this has brought us out of the Liz Cambage controversy, of course, and going forward without her. But now, I mean, Lauren Jackson's not going to be there going forward. I know that, you know, she wasn't playing huge minutes in the games at the World Cup. So how well placed are we then to get up there and try and compete with the USA?
Look, I think it's going to be tough because you are going to lose Lauren. And as whatever happened with Liz, she was an outstanding player. But the good news is the culture's right. And that's what they needed to get right for this thing. They just needed to set the culture properly and be able to get that on track. That's done. And there is some very good players in this team. I thought Tammy Whitkin had an outstanding series. Steph Talbot was all-star five. Beck Allen was great until she got injured. Kyla George. They were all these Ezzy Magvador. So there is enough to take them forward. But let's not kid ourselves. The US were a mile in front of everyone. And then everyone else was going for silver. So I think they're in good shape, but it's going to take a little bit, you know, of luck and playing well in the next, especially in Paris in 24.
Who impressed you out of the first week, Brett?
Of the NBL?
Yes.
Yeah, look, I thought the big guns, I thought the Kings was great. Derek Walton Jr., he showed that there's no hangover from the Jalen Adams. I thought they looked good. Cairns had a good win last night against Tasmania. Melbourne scraped over their win, but really the pick of the weekend was Perth Wildcats. Bryce Cotton and their team just turned around and said, nah, not it. Forget that we didn't make the playoffs last year. We beat Brisbane on home soil with Aaron Baines and the crew, and I thought Perth was outstanding.
How old is Bryce Cotton? I reckon I've been talking about Bryce Cotton for 20 years.
Yeah, I think he's 74 on that. So
he just keeps going and going and going.
He does.
He must have been a young fella, is he?
He's 30.
I'd say he's 30, 31, 32, but he's been around for years, and he is just phenomenal and as good as ever. He was very injured at the end of last year, and that hurt Perth. He's my pick for the MVP this year. I think he will have a stellar season, bar injury.
Great to speak to you, Brad.
My pleasure. Remember, they're back. Go, those Kings.
Our scoreboard update in Leicester, 4-0 against Nottingham Forest in the Premier League this morning, and in the final 10 minutes of that match. So 4-0 Leicester in the NBL last night. And it was a win for the Cairns Taipans against the Tasmania Jack Jumpers, 106-84. The NFL, well, in Sunday night football yesterday, Monday our time, it was Kansas City beating Tampa Bay, 41-31. The battle between Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. So a win for Patrick Mahomes. Maybe the marriage problems are becoming an issue there for T. Brady.
Oh, please.
But the game today is between the Rams and the 49ers. And the market with Tab has the 49ers $1.77. The Rams are $2.05. A flat line of two. Rams the plus. The Super Bowl champs. Slight outsiders traveling to San Francisco for that game. Give us a call, 13 53 53, on the text line here. Hey, boys, how did Dylan Edwards and Nicho Hynes not get a ticket to the World Cup? No name to that one. Lozza,
yeah,
tell us why.
Well, for Dylan, unfortunately, couldn't find a spot for him. Just the versatility of the squad. It sort of came down between other guys that could play fullback. A guy like Latrell Mitchell, for instance, or Cam Munster. Both will play for Australia and both will be in the starting 13. Yeah, Munster at 6 and Latrell Mitchell at 7, but the fact that they can play fullback as well worked against Dylan Edwards. If you said that, you know, Dylan Edwards wouldn't look out of place in Australian side, you're right. But unfortunately, with only 24, versatility has to become a key for some of these players, because if you do get injuries and, you know, players are missing for a game or two, then you need players to play in other positions. And with Nicho Hynes, he had a great year with the Sharks, but again, it came down to some versatility there. You've got guys that, you know, Matt Burton can play in the halves. Jack Whiten can play in the halves as well. You've got Ben Hunt that can play in the halves. Also play a bit of hooker, whereas Nicho is sort of the half, sort of fullback option for you. So when we sat down to discuss all those players, they probably missed out because there were other people that were better as the number one choice. And then when we looked at the versatility of those two players, there were other people that could cover more in different positions than those two.
When you're looking at the hooking role, and our man Cookie's a standby player, Coruscant not in the squad, it looks very much like that Queensland formula, which obviously works so well for the Maroons. Looks like the way Mal is thinking, and that is Ben Hunt probably starting, Harry Grant coming off the bench.
Well, that was one of the things in terms of why Cookie missed out too, was, the again, you get back to the versatility, and you've got three hookers there. You've got Harry Grant, who's a genuine hooker. You've got Ben Hunt, who can cover halves, hooker, and was very impressive in State of Origin. And every time he plays State of Origin as a nine, he just looks like he's suited to that. And then you've got Reuben Cotter, who has played hooker as well. Reuben's played hooker for me the last couple of years in the All-Star side. So he's got that versatility. So he's your sort of third sort of backup. But we've seen him jump out of the blocks this year, Reuben, as a middle forward. But yeah, it was so effective in State of Origin, that Hunt, Harry Grant combination. Again, it was a tough decision, not only with Cookie, but a guy like Appy Coruscant. You know, he's a wonderful player as well. But Mal just thought with the two Queensland guys, the way that they played and the way he wants to play, that was a good option for them.
Are you blowing up about anyone, pup, not making the squad or in the squad?
No, unless I read it incorrectly, there's not one para player in there. Is that correct?
Yeah, no, Regan Campbell-Gillard.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I missed him. So I was, the hardest thing, and I understand when it comes to selection as well, it's trying to get a combination between players that are in great form. Some have had stellar years for their club. Loz saying you can only pick so many in the squad because it's a World Cup. And then also the respect of what players have done in that jersey in the past. You know, and I was always a big believer in if somebody has performed for their country and then goes back to state cricket and makes four ducks in a row, I was still loyal to that player in the Australian team. You know, he'd performed under the most amount of pressure on that big stage. I was going to give him first crack. So I'm sure that, like, again, you look at the best performers of this season, can't make it into the team. But, again, your role's different when you walk into that Australian team. So if you're playing fullback or halfback for your club and you're the best in the comp, looking at, you know, Dally M, stuff like that, you're not going to play that position, unfortunately, for Australia, because there's someone there that's done it for such a long period of time and had success. So trying to find that balance is a very hard one selecting, and you're always going to have, you know, a player, some players where, you know, the fan of that club or that player is going to be disappointed that they didn't make the squad, but it's never easy. It's not an easy job at all.
Now, on Friday, you're in a competition, Loz. We you started a competition for, you had to pick correct score for the grand final and the Churchill medalist.
Yeah, did we have a winner?
Well, the closest, because you've got to look at the correct score, obviously.
So it was correct score and Clive Churchill medal winner.
So Robbo, he calls in a fair bit.
Right.
Lives near me, Robbo.
Yeah.
He picked 28-12, Penrith. But he had Cleary as the Clive Churchill medalist. Now, this is your competition, so you're going to now make an executive decision on whether that is enough for Robbo to claim the prize.
That's enough.
You give
if no one else had 28-12.
No, that's the only one who called in who had 28-12.
Well, if no one else has got 28-12, he's got the correct score. So he's closest.
And those
do like closest to the pin.
Okay. Oh, right. So he gets to keep that prize.
He gets to keep the prize.
Oh, I wasn't allowed to. Anyway.
So that's an executive. Is that an executive decision?
I'm with you.
Okay. Well done, Robbo. What does he win? I can't remember.
I can't remember either. Robbo, can you ring up and let us know what you won?
That's a shoe. That's a T-shirt.
First class flights to the Ashes.
It was something out of the cupboard, wasn't it? And not a costume.
It was. No, it was the Heroes and Villains prize, because there's no Heroes and Villains today. Yeah. So that's what he gets. We'll throw in a hat. Maybe a shirt if we got one left as well.
The hats are good too now.
So there you go. Well done, Robbo. 28-12. You get it. Always debate when these squads are picked lots. But I can understand a lot of your selections based on exactly what you say, versatility. Because you've got to cover all bases. When you only get a squad of 24, 17 obviously on the park in one particular game, you haven't got a lot of room to move, do you?
No. And you've got to be careful with your selections. And obviously everyone's got different opinions. But myself, Darren and Mal, that was the squad that we decided to come up with in the chair. And that's the way we're going. And we think it's a very, very strong squad, and as are the other nations. But there's a couple of people there that we gave it to because we think they can cover a few more positions than some of the others. And we think that they were obviously deserving of it. Now, everyone's going to have their different opinions. And I can understand why people would be thinking, how can you not pick a Dylan Edwards in the team? But with Tedesco being there and the fact that you've still got Mitchell and you've got Munster there that can play fullback if required, it was always going to be hard to fit him in.
The market with Tab has the Kangaroos $1.42, New Zealand $4.50, England $10, Samoa $12, Tonga $15, Fiji $51, $125 to 1, and longer the rest. So the market says New Zealand
Kiwis
clearly.
Got a good side.
Oh, don't they? I'll tell you who else was good in that grand final. I know he scored a try. Scott Sorensen.
He's going to be in
that Kiwi squad.
He's in the Kiwi side. Their forward pack in particular is going to be hard to contain.
And Moses Leota, James Fisher-Harris.
Yeah, both those guys play exceptional. But, I mean, the Kiwis have got an outstanding squad. And they'll be tough to beat. They'll be tough to beat. Yeah, you know, Tonga, Samoa, the rise of Samoa. Tonga. With Jason Taumalolo leading the way. So I think it's going to be a wonderful World Cup. I really do. I just don't think it's going to be one of these World Cups where in the past Australia just turn up and they're expected to win and they win well. They're going to have to be on their game, in particular when it gets to the final stages of the competition, the quarterfinal, semi-final. Just to get there will be a challenge.
Just looking through this Kiwi squad now, Dallin Watini-Zalesniak is the only Warriors player in that squad. That's bad for New Zealand Rugby League.
It's unbelievable.
Well, one Warriors player.
It says
player.
Their identification of their talent has been poor.
Mm. Oh,
yeah.
Awful.
They should be having a number of players.
Gosh, look at this team.
Strong squad, though, isn't it?
Oh, it's a tough squad, mate.
Well, Rhea Hargreaves, Tarpany, Brandon Smith, Isaiah Papali'i, Nia Kore, Chance Nicol-Klooster, Ronaldo Mulitalo, Joey Manu. Jerome Hughes.
Still shouldn't beat Australia. I still think Australia are the best team.
Dylan Brown. Dylan Brown and Mitchell Moses both have contracts to sort out as well. Otherwise, they could hit the open market November 1 for 2024 and beyond.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens here. I think Parramatta would be keen to re-sign them. Mitch, I think, if he won that grand final on the weekend, his contract was about to explode and possibly become over $1 million player with Parramatta. Their forwards were just outplayed. Penrith just stuck it to them early. They controlled possession and they really never had any front football, Dylan Brown or Mitch Moses, to play off the back of. But certainly those two guys, you would be looking to extend and keep them as long as you possibly can. They're just hard to get quality 7 and 6s. Mm.
Time to talk some racing with Brad Davidson. Morning to you.
Morning, Jared. Morning, everyone. How are we, guys?
Yeah, really well, thank you. And already a text here in relation to Top Ranked for you. What's Brad think of Top Ranked now? Mighty Effort second up, boys on the bog track. And, it was a dead heat in the Tab Epsom. Ellsberg and Top Ranked on Saturday.
Yeah, he was terrific, wasn't he? Top Ranked on the weekend. I was a little bit against him in the Epsom. I thought it might have favoured those horses down in the weight. I do concede they put it on a silver platter for him again in terms of really good speed up front, which suited those horses like him and Ellsberg, just sitting back off that speed. But look, he had to carry the weight, and he did it well. And I think it's fair to say at the 100, it looked like he was going to win outright. He might have just peaked a touch late on that run, and Ellsberg really finished off strongly. But the judge couldn't split them there on the weekend. A thrilling finish to the Epsom. I thought Hinged was terrific. She chased that hot speed the entire way. Look, she had no weight on her back, so she was entitled to kick on all the same. But the leaders just simply overdid it there in the Epsom. They went out far too hard, and it meant that the likes of Crosstalk and Nimalee and even Hinge, who had to chase that speed, they were always going to be vulnerable late. So, look, Ice Bath was very plain, I think it's fair to say. Had a perfect setup there on the weekend, particularly with that speed up front, but she didn't finish off at all. But that all honours the Top Ranked. He looks like he's going to continue to improve, isn't he, out to 2,000 metres now. Look, whether he's in the same category as the likes of Animo and that, we'll wait and see. There's still a big jump to that. I mean, he's only just dead-heated with Ellsberg, who, it's fair to say prior to Saturday was just going fairly, but he's clearly just jumped out of the ground on the wet track as well, Ellsberg. So, well done to Connections of Top Ranked and Ellsberg. And, both look like particularly Top Ranked. He's going to just continue to improve for the rest of the campaign.
Now, Dave, we know Lost and Running won the Premier Stakes on the weekend. But if you take Nature Strip out of the Everest, who in your mind is the favourite for the Everest?
He would be favourite if you take Nature Strip out? Probably Jacono, I would say. But I think the forgotten horse in the market, guys, is Eduardo. And if you take Nature Strip out, he'd probably be my pick in the race. I know he was disappointing second up, but look, they're not robots. And he's had a nice little freshen up into the Tab Everest. We saw he's still back with a bang, wasn't he, first up. And he handles wet ground. We've got plenty of rain later this week. I haven't had a look at the forecast next week just yet, but I'm sure there'll be plenty more rain the way that things have been tracking the last 6 months or so. But yeah, I mean, I think he's the forgotten horse in the race at $13 now. How he can be $13 and Overpass can be $15, I mean, they're worlds apart in terms of chances in the race. You've got Eduardo, who's a proven Group 1 sprinter, and you've got Overpass, who I think on the weekend showed he's just a level below those top sprinters. So, he would be the one that would interest me. Obviously, Nature Strip stimming the market to some degree because, everyone thinks, well, if he turns up, it's pretty much game over, and it does look that way. But he still does have that second up niggle, Nature Strip. I know it's a bit of a different preparation this time in, but second up he can be flat. So that's the little query with him. But, clearly the one to beat. But outside of that, I think Eduardo and Jack and I would have liked to see more from Lost and Running on the weekend. I agree with John O'Shea. He didn't get into a great spot there. He was left exposed a long way out. But I just don't know if there's enough improvement there with 2 weeks' time. Maybe he needs a bit of a drier track. Mars Crusader finished off. Marzu battled away. But it was nothing out of that premiere there on the weekend that said back me in an Everest for mine. So, you got to go back and look at those different angles.
Gee, what a conundrum for Inglis, though, with Snapdancer out.
Yeah, exactly. Shame there. Little minor hoof problem there. So she's been ruled out of the Tab Everest. Where they go to, we'll wait and see. There's a few options there, isn't there? Bella Nipotina, Private Eye was dominant there in the Gilgai on the weekend. I suppose that the query for Private Eye is he did that first up and, we know he's a horse that likes to get out to 7 furlongs. So can he back up 2 weeks later and be as dominant, particularly against the A-graders, probably not. But he definitely brings a different look at it anyway. And it has been one of those years to look at different angles because, really, if you haven't got one of the first few, you are trying to find something out of the box to really be competitive.
Who are your horses to follow out of Saturday, Dover?
Look, I just went brutality, Loz. I thought he was terrific first up. He needs wet tracks. He needs further. We know that. But he was great in the Premier. His last 200 was quicker than anything in that race. And he's clearly come back well. You could follow a few others, but I thought they were pretty obvious. So he was the one out the back that I thought hit the line strongly.
Any in the bin?
Yeah, I think we could throw a few in from the weekend. Overpass, I just don't think he's quite up to the Tab Everest this year. I'm surprised he's there at $15. I think on the weekend showed that he just regressed a little bit, and I'd have to take him on. I think you could throw Ice Bath into that. Look, she had everything there on the weekend to run well and wasn't able to do that. And Montefilia was also pretty disappointing as a short price favourite too. So there's a few there you could throw in the sin bin, but they're the types of horses that on their day can still come out and win races for sure.
Did you see any racing at Moonee Valley on Friday night?
Yes, Loz, well done. Great victory. Well placed by the team and very strong late. Well back too, so hopefully got a collect there and exciting times ahead. What's the plans going forward?
I think the Ethereal.
Yep.
The Ethereal Stakes on the 15th of October. So I think that's the plan moving forward, Dover.
Very exciting. It looks like a horse that'll stay, Loz. So, perfect. Well, really, perfect way to start the career and hopefully onwards and upwards from here.
Down south, what did you make of the win of Smoke and Romans?
Yeah, it was just shows, guys, that weight isn't everything, is it? I mean, was horribly weighted in that race, you know, compared to a few of its rivals out of the start prior. And but one thing I will say, did get it pretty much on a platter out up on speed, but that's what on-speed horses do. They make their own luck. That was the race where they absolutely crawled up front and he gave a big kick and, you know, off that performance, he's just gone to a new level, this preparation. And you'd have to think, I think he drops to 51.5 in the Caulfield Cup, drops to 4 kilos. So, look, he's going to start favourite there, you would have to imagine, the way he's tracking in that weight drop. And now he's won the Turnbull and the Naturalism. And, yeah, he's in for a big prep after what he's already done. So hard to beat in the Caulfield Cup off that, you would imagine.
Have a great day, mate.
Thanks, guys. Talk soon.